Well, good morning. Welcome to worship here with us this morning at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and I'm glad to be with you, glad to lead you in this time of worship on this beautiful, cool summer morning. We're still calling it summer. It's not gone yet. We're going to enjoy it a little longer, but I'm glad we can be together, glad we can worship, and I have a list of things to announce, so bear with me for a minute. We got a lot going on, and I just want to make sure we keep everyone in the loop. The first being our choir is going to be getting back together. We're getting the band back together, if you will. They're going to start rehearsing this Wednesday at 7. They rehearse just down the hall here in the choir room. And I was told to point out, they're always looking for new voices. So if you are interested in joining them or coming and finding out, you can join them Wednesday at 7. Or I'm sure you can talk to Gwen. She'd be happy to share a little bit about what they do throughout the year. But that is this Wednesday at 7. Also, the Peach Festival is coming. Next weekend is the Peach Festival, and the men's group's been hard at work getting our food booth ready. They still do need a few more volunteers. If you're interested in helping out, they have the day broken into pieces. You get a front row seat for the parade as it goes by. It's a fun morning, but you can find that just inside the fellowship hall doors. They have those needs, and even if you're not working, come out and see us during the Peach Festival, during the parade. We'd love to see you, and we'll be out there on the lawn serving that food. Also coming up, we have the baseball game on September 8th. The men's group's inviting the church to join them for a night of fun at the baseball game at Jimmy John's Field. Larry asked if you could please get signed up and get him the money here this week so that he can get those tickets purchased and have them ready to go. It is $12, and the men's group is buying tickets for any students 18 or younger. So any students that want to go, the men's group is going to sponsor them. And tickets are $12 for adults. Also, going back to Peach Festival, I missed one event. September 3rd, that's the Sunday night of the Peach Festival, is the car show that comes right down Van Dyke here. If you want a seat for that, our lawn's a great spot. But after the car show, we're going to have a movie night on the church lawn and back. We're going to be watching Elemental on the church lawn there. We have popcorn and waters and treats for the kids ready to go. If you want to join us, come for the car show and stay for the movie. It'll be a fun evening of activities for the families and kids. So that will be September 3rd. Children's Parade is on Monday. It's Monday morning this year. So 8:45 for the Children's Parade if you want to be a part of that. Children or adults, children at heart, we're not limiting it, but we'll be meeting here in the church parking lot to head over to get loaded up for the Children's Parade on Monday morning. Thank you, Margie. And then Rally Day is September 10th. Rally Day is our day where we kind of have a ministry parade. All the activities, all the groups of the church will be in the fellowship hall to show their activities, to show the things that they do throughout the year. If you're one of those ministry leaders, I'd encourage you, Margie has a sign-up sheet downstairs. You can sign up to have your booth. If you want to come and learn about some of the things we do, I encourage you to be here that day and tour around the fellowship hall. You'll be able to see all those different things we have, the groups and ministries we do throughout the year. It's always a fun morning. And then my last one, I promise, my last one. There's a sign-up sheet downstairs for a safety seminar from our Macomb County prosecutor, Peter Lucido. He'll be hosting a seminar here at the church on October 7th. He has a program that he does that helps people to stay safe from scams, from those various things that target our senior citizens and our families in general. If you would like to be a part of that, there's a sign-up sheet. There's more information on the board, but it is a informational program that the men's group is bringing him in to be able to share with anyone who's interested in just keeping themselves safe in this digital age of scams, the mailing, the phone calls, all those things that happen. He'll be sharing about that. So put that on your kit. And breakfast. Yes. Thank you, Bob. They will be serving breakfast to go along with that morning. So join us October 7th for that. Whew! I'm going to go catch my breath. And I'm glad to be able to do so today because I'm going to be able to welcome the O'Brien family. They're going to come forward this time. We have the O'Briens with us again, Corey and Kelly and Caitlin. I think that's right, Gwen. Let's give them. They helped us lead worship about a month back, and they graciously agreed to come out and join us again today. So I'll invite you to stand as you're able if you'd like to sing with them. Their opening songs, they're going to be singing Alleluia and How He Loves. Please rise and sing with us.
Father, we Son of heaven, we are singing.
Eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you
are and how great your affections are for me. That he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. We are his portion and he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. His grace is an ocean where I'm sinking. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. My heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. That he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Join me as we pray. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. I thank you for the love. I thank you for your love, how much you love us, Lord, and that we can come to you and we can worship you and show us our gratitude and our thankfulness for the love that you give us, Lord. Lord, please bless, Lord, the rest of the service. Bless our worship. Bless the words. Bless the testimonies, the praise, the prayers, Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you hear us, that you love us, and I thank you for being here once again, Lord, to worship you and to worship with all of those that you love. Thank you.
You may please be seated. Thank you guys for starting our time of worship so wonderfully. We are so thankful to have you with us today. As we continue our worship, our first scripture reading is going to come to us from the Psalms. It's Psalm 138, titled Thanksgiving and Praise. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. And this ends our first reading for today. It was a number of months back, sometime back now, that I was approached by a young man who's here just about every Sunday, even though he's not seen by many of us, not seen by many of you at least. I catch a glimpse of him every once in a while because he's usually up there roaming in the balconies, making sure our live stream is happening for those viewers watching from home. But Josh Silva approached me because he's coming to that very important step in his journey through the Boy Scouts, through the scouting program. He's coming to the end of that time where he does his Eagle Scout project. And he was looking to do a project, something for us here at the church. And he came, and not only did he want to do it, but he already had an idea for a project, which made it even better for me. I didn't have to come up with it. And I was thankful for that. And today we get to celebrate the completion of that project as Josh takes those final steps towards completing his Eagle Scout project. So at this time, I'm going to invite Josh Sova to come forward, as well as his grandfather, Pat Zimmerman. Pat is the advancement chair for Troop 149. And Josh's mom, Beth, she shared with me that Pat founded Troop 149 in 1996. And as Josh completes the requirements for his Eagle Scout, he will be the 72nd Eagle Scout to complete their project through this troop. That's a lot of young men's lives touched over the course of that journey. So, Josh, Pat, would you please come forward and join me? As many of you may know, Josh's mom, Beth, as I said, and Grandma Linda, they help make our sanctuary beautiful. They do so by the banners you see hanging up above us here. They regularly make new ones for us. They come to me with ideas and different things that they have. And in the course of talking about those banners, they shared that the storage we had, we were running out of space. They weren't enough. A lot of banners were laying across the pews up there. So when Josh approached me, his idea was to help us with some new boxes, some new storage boxes for those banners. And that's what he's been working on for some time. And they put together a slideshow of their progress that they made. So we're going to go ahead and watch that, and then we'll hear from Pat here in a moment too. So go ahead and play that for us. As you can see, they put some work in, didn't they? And we have the pictures up there so you can see them, but it doesn't do them justice. If you have a chance and you want to, they're located in the two corners upstairs on the balcony. Take a chance to go up there and see those boxes. They are beautiful. There's no other word for them. They are wonderful works of art. And the thing I think is so awesome to see was all those other scouts that were there helping them build. Did you see all those other boys, all those other students that were there that were a part of that project. And I think that's an awesome testimony to Josh that they all showed up to be there to help him with that. And I'm going to go ahead and let Pat share with us here a word too.
Thank you, Pastor Devin. Good morning. As he already said, my name is Pat Zimmerman, and as most of you now know, Josh is my oldest grandchild. I'm also the, as he said, the founder of Troop 149 in Macomb Township, and I currently serve as the advancement chair for the troop. The rank of Eagle Scout is the highest rank that Scouts BSA offers. Only about 5% of all young people that start scouting earn the rank of Eagle. More than anything, it takes perseverance on the part of a young person. They must juggle commitments to school, family, church, and other activities. And as many of you know, Josh has also earned his second degree junior black belt, so he's active in karate. Josh has actively been pursuing the rank of Eagle Scout since 2014, when he was in the first grade and joined as a Cub Scout. To earn the rank of Eagle Scout, a young person must complete a series of requirements, including being active in their troop. As I mentioned, Josh has been dedicated to the Scouts and has only missed a handful of activities since 2014 due to illness or conflicts. He has to serve in a leadership position in the troop. Since 2019, Josh has served as the webmaster for our troop web host. And in 2022, he was the assistant senior patrol leader, which is the number two position in the troop. And on many occasions during that year, he functioned as the senior patrol leader, the top youth position in the troop, when the young man that was in that position was absent for one reason or another. Josh had to earn at least 21 merit badges in a variety of subjects, including outdoor skills, citizenship, diversity awareness, physical fitness, and exploring potential careers or hobbies. In fact, to date, Josh has earned 28 merit badges. And finally, as you saw, he had to plan, develop, and lead a service project that benefits their school, church, or community. Josh decided to build two cabinets to store banners for the church, which you can see, as Pastor Devin said, in the balcony behind you. Josh and his crew of adult and youth workers spent 377 hours in the design, fundraising, and construction of the project. Since 1912, more than 2 million young men, and since 2019, young women, have earned the rank of Eagle Scout. Some distinguished Eagles include ex-President Gerald Ford and astronauts Jim Lovell and Neil Armstrong, of course, the first man on the moon. Josh joins his two uncles in this august company and becomes the 72nd Eagle Scout in Troop 149 since its founding in 1996. Thank you.
Just hold on to it. Just hold on to it. Thank you, Pat, for sharing that with us. Thank you for both for your work. And I'm going to let Pat sit down, but before Josh goes, we're going to take a moment and we're going to show our thanks, show our appreciation. We're going to say a prayer of dedication for these two boxes that Josh has worked so tirelessly on. So will you join me in this word of prayer? Father God, we come before you today. We come with thankful and full hearts. We take this moment to recognize the efforts of one of your beloved children, of Josh Sova, as well as all those peers and mentors who have worked alongside him in these past months. For all the planning and preparation, the hours spent working, the blisters, splinters, and sore muscles, we offer our sincere thanks. Today we dedicate these two beautiful banner boxes that are a result of that work. May they be used to continue to bring glory to Jesus' name. Your church is at its best when we are all doing our part, all using our talents, all using our skills and abilities that you have given to us. We pray your continued blessing be with Josh as he moves through the rest of the Eagle Scout process. Continue to strengthen and encourage and challenge him. Continue to provide him opportunities to learn and serve and grow. Lord, we offer all of these prayers in the holy and powerful name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Church, will you thank Josh one more time with me?
Thank you.
And I'm going to ask you to keep Josh in your prayers. He has a step coming up in just the next couple weeks. He'll be going before the honor board. Did I get that right? Okay, I thought I said it right. He's going to be going before the honor board. Well, he'll be interviewed and they'll review his projects and everything else he's done. And he's asked me to be a part of that, which I take as a true honor. So keep him in your prayers as he prepares and as he goes to sit before that board. And we thank you, Josh. Thank you so much. And I'm not going to go back up. I'm just going to stay right here and invite the children to come and join me. For any of the children or students that would like to come forward to join me for our time with children. Okay, you sit down and step. There you go. Good job. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
I can say boys. We got two boys. You're not outnumbered. Well, you're outnumbered. You're not alone today. Well, I know this isn't things that people always like to hear, especially students like to hear, but we're getting to the end of August here, aren't we? Which means something. What's it mean? It's coming.
School.
Everyone I've said that to this morning, no matter how big the students were, they had that same response. School. It is back to school time. But that doesn't have to be a bad thing. There's some fun things that come with school. And one of those fun things that I know everyone loves is pop quizzes. Tests that you didn't know were coming, right? Isn't that everyone's favorite thing? Well, I got one for you this morning. I'm going to give you your first pop quiz of the year, all right? So let's see. It's only two questions. So it's a pretty easy one, all right? So here's my first question. I mean, I wrote it down so I didn't mess it up. So the first one is, how many of each animal did Moses take on the ark with him?
Two.
Any other answers? Two? I'm hearing some twos. Anyone out there? Anything different? Two? Oh, I got some nones. I got some zeros. Why are they saying none? How many of each animal did Moses take on the ark with him?
Zero.
Why? Because Moses was dead then. That's a great reason. Because Moses didn't take anyone on the ark, right? Noah did. Noah took two of each animal on the ark. All right, that was the first one. That's my, remember, you got to think them through. Think through that. All right. Here's the second one. Ready? According to the Bible, can 1 plus 1 ever equal 3?
No.
No?
Yes.
It's a trick question. He's on to me. Can 1 plus 1 ever equal 3? Well, the answer is yes, according to what the Bible tells us at least, because there's a verse that tells us, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. So if two are gathered, one, two are gathered, Jesus is there too. So that's 3. So 1 plus 1 equals 3, right? It equals 2. If you're doing it for math class, say 2. If we're doing it in church, we're going to say 3, all right? So it can equal 3. And you know, I just love that reminder. Wherever two or three or any number are gathered in his name, Jesus is there with us. And Jesus is with us here as we worship, as we heard Tyler's family singing for us, that we feel that presence with us, don't we? We feel that Holy Spirit moving God and Jesus, they're here with us in that time. As we hear scripture, as we go to Odyssey, as we're together, we feel Jesus with us. And I just wanted to remind you guys of that. You're going back to school. But just know that you're not going alone. You're going with Jesus. Jesus will be there with you. Jesus will be there to encourage you and strengthen you and do all those things you need. And you can always take that moment. If you need a moment, just to say a quick prayer to Jesus. It can be quiet. It can be in your mind. You can do it walking down the hallway, sitting in your seat, wherever you might be. Hey, dear God, please postpone school. Remember, all prayers aren't answered on our time. But God will be with you during that time. God will be there with you. Jesus will be there with you and loving you. And we're all here. We all love you. We're so glad to have you with us. And I'm going to say a word before you guys head back to Odyssey, all right? Let me say a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for these boys and girls. We give you thanks for the children, the students of our church, no matter how young or how old. Lord, I do ask that you be with them as they prepare to head back, or some have already headed back to school. Lord, just be with them, strengthen them, encourage them, remind them that they are never truly alone, that you are always with them, that you will be there to help them through those difficult times. Lord, we love you. We know you love us. So we pray these things. We pray these all in your holy name. Amen. Thanks for coming up and taking my pop quiz with me, guys. But you guys can head back to Odyssey with Margie if you want there, or back to your seats, and we'll see you after church, all right? Well, as we take this moment, I was preparing this week, and for some reason this verse came across my desk, and it just seemed appropriate. James 5:13 reads, "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise." That's why we take this time to lift our joys and our concerns. We heard the songs of praise lifted already this morning, and we'll hear some more in a minute. And we like to celebrate those joys, those good things in our lives, but we also need to be cognizant. We need to acknowledge those struggles that we're having, that friends, family, our world is having. So that's why we take this moment. And I have just one that was I wanted to note for you before I let you guys share. Obviously, everyone's aware of the storms that came across our region, across Michigan this past week. Some of you may have been among those dealing with flooding and power outages and all that fun that came. But I wanted to share that if you're looking for a place that can help, that is making a difference, several years back, the Michigan Conference of the United Methodist Church started an organization named After the Storm. It has been spun off. It's now its own nonprofit, but it is a group of Methodist leaders, ministers, elders, deacons, lay members who are making a difference in Michigan. They are now the go-to organization in Michigan when disaster strikes. When we were at conference last year, the wildfires were going up north, and as the gentleman was on stage presenting this, walking on stage to present this, his phone rang. And it was the state of Michigan calling and saying, "What do you need to help? What can we give you? What resources do you need to help?" They're making a difference in our state. So if you're looking to help, if you want to help those who are dealing with these struggles, After the Storm is already mobilized. You can donate to them. I sent information to Shelley, so if you want to, you can get it from her in the office, or their website is afterthestormmi.org. I'd encourage you to look into that if you're looking for ways we can help our fellow neighbors here in Michigan. So that was the one I just wanted to share with us. And of course, prayers for all those dealing with those difficulties. But if you have a joy or a concern to share, Nathan has a microphone. The other one's right up here, Kathy, on the organ. If you have one to share, just go ahead and raise a hand.
I want to ask for prayers for a good friend who fell down the stairs, and he has a brain bleed, and he's in the hospital now.
What's his name?
Rob.
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 Prayers for Rob, who fell down the stairs and is in the hospital with a brain bleed. Keep him in our prayers. Thank you.
I just want to thank everyone for the prayers for my brother, Al. Was in Traverse City Hospital with open heart surgery. He came through that. His progress has been slow, but each day he seems to be getting better and more oxygen in his lungs, but he's going to be there a while yet. So I just ask that we continue to uplift him and all those who are around him, doctors and nurses, and the wisdom that they have given by God in this wonderful time we live in. And also for Jeff Grooms, he and Paula were members here a long time, and I just heard that he's struggling with knee and foot issues. So if we could keep him in prayer for complete recovery. Thank you.
Continued prayer for Beth Eisen and Eileen Locke.
Thank you, Nathan, and thank you, Jen. For Jenny, for sharing those with us. We keep Jeff in our prayers, and we continue to keep your brother in our prayers as well. And as I glance over here, I see Connie. Connie shared this morning we were praying for her sister last week, who's in ICU with problems breathing, and she's still in the ICU, still needs help with the breathing, but they've been able to rule out cancer and some of those other concerns that they had. So continued prayers for healing in the days ahead, that they're able to wean her off the machines and get her home. And absolutely. Are there any others this morning?
Oh.
I have two praises, and I know we're already addressing both of those. But, Josh, thank you so much for everything you've done and continue to do up there in the video booth. And also thank you so much to the O'Briens for being here. What a joy it is to sing the praise.
Thank you, Glenn. It is a joy, and we do celebrate Josh and all his actions as well. So thank you. Are there any others this morning? I didn't see any other hands. Well, then I'll encourage us to take this moment to acknowledge those that we've heard, those that have been shared here out loud, but also those that we may be carrying with us, those needs or concerns we carry in our hearts, to take a moment and spend this time in silent reflection and prayer with God. Father God, here this morning, we're going to hear the wonderful words from Matthew's gospel, wonderful words in which Simon Peter acknowledges Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. He's given the name Peter, the rock upon whom the church will be built. Lord, we can't help but read that and think what it would be like to be that kind of rock for you, one that Jesus could count on. Count on to be strong in the face of adversity, brave when danger is present, compassionate when sorrow and strife prevail. You've called us to be your church. We ask for your transforming love. We ask that it transforms us, that we might better be witnesses for you. Today, Lord, we have named people with our lips and in our hearts, people before you that we love who are dealing with sorrow and with illness, some who may feel abandoned and alone, those who are entering schools, colleges, military service, the workforce, those who see changes happening. We also take a moment to joyfully celebrate those situations of hope, those celebration of special occasions that take place in our lives, knowing that no matter whether it is a joy, a celebration time, or one of sorrow, you are there with us, Lord. We pray that you hear the cries of our hearts to you, O God. Heal and transform our lives this day. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, as together we pray this prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to have the O'Briens play for us in just a moment, but before they do, I missed one that came in through the chat, so I want to take a moment to acknowledge. Melissa Lewis is asking for prayers for her mom, Margaret Lewis. Margaret has been through a lot lately, these past months, dealing with health issues, struggles in and out of the hospital, and she is back in the hospital dealing with some challenges. So please keep Margaret Lewis in your prayers this day as well, as we continue to lift those we love to God. I'll give it to you.
Your face, come and make your throne.
upon our praise here in this place. Have your way. The moment that we see you, we are changed. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fall down. Show us your glory. Show
as we ask to see God's glory, as we seek God's glory, we take a moment to give thanks for the ways we see that glory shine all around us, through the missions and ministries of this church, through all those groups, all that list of things I had to share at the beginning of service. We see God's glory. And I am thankful for those missions, those ministries, for the fellowship times, for the Peach Festival food booth that we'll have out there, all the ways we reach into this community. And I offer my thanks to each of you for being a part of that, for participating in the life of this church, in the life of Christ Church here on earth. And we take a moment to recognize our collection of tithes and offerings. I remind us that we have our offering box on the wall to my right here if you wish to leave an offering here today. We also have our online giving available on our website at romeoumc.com. And as such, as we offer our thanks and praise, let us offer a word of prayer for this collection today. Generous God, you have given us many gifts. You have drawn us together. You have called us to be Christ's body, the church. You've blessed us with generous and cheerful spirits, spirits that can reach into this world to make a difference. So may the gifts of our money, the gifts of our time and our talents support the ministry of your church, that your glory be shown to all here on earth. We offer this in praise and thanks. Amen. Our second scripture reading is coming to us from Matthew's Gospel. It's Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20, Peter's declaration about Jesus. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This, my friends, is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. As many of you know, I was able to spend a week on vacation with my family just a few weeks back. And during that trip, I discovered something. I discovered that even if we ran the kids all day long, swimming, hiking, fishing, climbing lighthouses, whatever it was, whatever we did to burn that energy, whatever we could throw at them, no matter what we did, Eliza decided that she was still raring to go at 7:30 a.m. every morning. Sleeping in on vacation is apparently a foreign concept to a four-year-old. But on many of those mornings, it was just the two of us up for a while. It was my cup of coffee, of course. Up before everyone else, enjoying a few quiet minutes together. But I also have to admit something else. I didn't mind it. I actually enjoyed it. I enjoyed that time spent with her. And I also enjoyed getting to talk to her a little bit, what she enjoyed from the day before, what she was looking forward to doing that day, reading some stories together, and sometimes playing a game together, playing board games or card games together. And over the course of those mornings, I came to realize that she has one game that she really likes these days. It's one that I'm betting you're familiar with, one that you might remember. It's Guess Who. Do you guys remember Guess Who? Go ahead and put that up there for us. You guys remember Guess Who? We got the grid of people. Everyone's got their grid, and you have a card. You have to figure out what card the other person has. You have to ask questions to knock down different characters, questions about hair length and color, their piercings, glasses, hats, anything that might identify them, characteristics about the people on those cards. And there's something I hate to admit, something I hate to have to say out loud, but Eliza is really good at this game. Like, much better than me. Like, she beat me more times than not. She just had a knack for the game, for picking those characteristics out, for looking at them to narrow it down until she had the one character left. The one that she was looking for. When it really comes down to it, as I thought about it, each one of us could be a Guess Who character on a card, couldn't we? There are certain things about us, about our appearance, that people could use to narrow us down, to draw a picture of what we look like. We could have our Romeo UMC Guess Who deck if we wanted. And there are, of course, those physical characteristics, much like we use in the Guess Who game, that we could use, the physical things that could describe us. But then as I read this week's scripture, this interaction between Jesus and Peter, it left me wondering something else. It left me wondering, what if someone had to describe each of us, not by those physical characteristics, but by the ones that are unseen? What kind of picture would they draw? What kind of picture would they describe of our character, of who we are, of how we act, of how we treat others? What words, what phrases would they use to make a guess who card of those characteristics? Would Eliza be able to go through her deck of cards and identify us by those characteristics? Because that is, in essence, what happened in today's scripture reading, isn't it? By this time, by the time we're reading about here in the scriptures, the disciples, they've been with Jesus for quite some time. And let's face it, they've seen some stuff. Just in the past few weeks, we've talked about some of that stuff they've seen Jesus do. Feeding the multitudes, walking on water, silencing the wind and the waves. The disciples have seen Jesus do some things. They've had a firsthand experience of just who Jesus is. And obviously Jesus knows this. He knows what he's doing. It's why he came. It's what his purpose on earth was. He wasn't just there to tell them how to live, to give them rules and regulations to follow. Jesus came to show them with his own actions how he was calling them to live. So it's with this knowledge, it's with this experience that he's seen them gain, that Jesus asks the disciples a question. He asks them, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say I am? What have you heard? What are people saying in these towns and villages that we visit? What is the word about me?" And the disciples share what they've heard. Some people say you're John the Baptist, which is really weird because John the Baptist was around still, but that's different. Others say that you're Elijah come back or Jeremiah. While others say you're a prophet sent by God. Now, to be clear, none of this is bad company to be in, for those people to be saying these things about Jesus, to be lumped in with these people. Because to the Jewish people, the people he'd encountered as he walked across the countryside, those individuals that were named, they were some of the pillars of the Jewish faith. They were people of importance, men of God who had served with integrity, who had served and followed as God called them to do, men that were revered among the people of Israel. It was good company to be in. So for Jesus to be placed in that category, it wasn't unreasonable. It was among the top tier of where he could have been placed. It would have been a compliment. However, as always, Jesus doesn't leave it there. Jesus has the follow-up to that question, the one that he asks of his disciples, because Jesus then said to them, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" He's asking this of those closest to him, those disciples who had been following him, those who had been with him in the trenches, been with him through thick and thin, the good and the bad. He's asking his students, those that he was teaching, but he's also asking his friends, those that he was living life with, his handpicked and chosen disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, we're told, answers. Doesn't even seem like there's a whole lot of buildup, a whole lot of hesitation on his part. He doesn't or ah his way through it. He doesn't talk in circles as he comes up with this definition or this explanation of who Jesus is. He makes a clear and concise statement, one that would have been monumental among the Jewish people, because remember, they'd been waiting for this moment, waiting for this man. It'd been over 400 years since the last prophets had spoken in the land of Israel. They'd been waiting for this. 400 years of radio silence had been there. And Peter, he doesn't call Jesus just another prophet. He makes a declaration. He says, "You are the Messiah. You are the one we've been waiting for, the one we've been hoping for. You are the one who will come and change the way things are." And I'm not going to even dream of diminishing what Simon said, what he did with this statement, the bold statement he made. He deserves credit for putting his faith on display and making that declaration. I don't think there's any question about that. But at the end of the day, when we really stop and look at it, to anyone who'd been paying attention, to anyone who'd been listening and watching and learning with Jesus, seeing what was really going on, it was the only acceptable explanation, the only appropriate response. "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And as I said, for those comments, for Simon making that declaration, Simon Peter making that declaration, he gets the recognition he deserves. It was slightly odd to see the scene playing out, because remember where Simon Peter was last week? As I taught, as I preached about Simon Peter, where was he last week? He was walking out onto those waves, but then sinking. He was then admonished by Jesus for his lack of faith, for why didn't you trust? Why didn't you believe? For his failure to place his full trust in Jesus. But something has changed from that moment to this one. To this moment when all the cards are laid out there. Who do you say that I am? You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds, like I said, he gets the praise he deserves, the accolades he deserves for this statement. He says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. That's a pretty awesome statement. But then as I read it again, I realized something. Jesus had asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Jesus asked that question, right? And Peter responded. But then after Peter responded, what did Jesus turn around and do? Jesus turned around and told Peter who he was as well. He told Peter who he saw standing before him, the man he saw standing before him, what his purpose was, what his place in the world was. He said who Peter was. He said, I know who you are. You are a leader. You are one who can take what has been seen and heard and learned and take it to the world. You are the rock on which I'll build my church. Jesus declared who Peter was. You are one of my beloved, one of my children. And that actually brings me back around to the thought that started this whole sermon, to that deck of personal guess who cards that we might have with each of our faces on it. But it made me stop and wonder, what characteristics, not physical characteristics, what spiritual, what characteristics of the heart would family members use to describe each of you, each of us? What characteristics would friends use? What about coworkers, neighbors, the stranger we encounter walking through the supermarket? What about those that we don't see eye to eye with on many things? What about those that maybe we even identify as enemies? How would they define us? How would they explain our character, who we are? Or how about this one? How would Jesus define our character? How would Jesus look at us and our lives? I don't know about you, but that made me stop and think this week. What would Jesus say about me? What would Jesus say about each of us? Because if we really stop to think about it for a moment, the characteristics that Jesus would use, the definitions that he would give, the words, the phrases, they would come from our interactions with all those people I just listed. From our friends, our family, our coworkers, our neighbors, the strangers, our enemies. That's where Jesus' definitions would come from, because every time we interact with them, every action, every word, everything we do, every choice we make is a reflection of our heart and our soul, of where our heart lies, of who we are, and of whose we are. And that's why I believe each and every one of us needs to be prepared to answer the question that Jesus asked of his disciples. Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus Christ? We need to be able to answer that, because if we can't provide an answer for that, we can't be able to take the word of God, the good news, out to the world. We can't tell the world who Jesus is based solely on his physical characteristics. A charismatic smile and kind, soft eyes are only going to get us so far. That's not what people are looking for. That's not what they're searching for, not deep down in their hearts and their souls. People want to know who Jesus is to you, how he has touched your life, how he has changed your life. Who do you say that Jesus is?
here's the thing. Here's the important thing. Once you're able to make those statements, once you're able to declare who Jesus is, who he was, who he is, and who he will be, once you are able to acknowledge who Jesus is, we're also able to do something else. We are able to emulate those things in our lives. You're able to act and talk and serve and live just as Jesus lived, as Jesus has called each and every one of us to live. And there's a quote that's been attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. It's been a favorite of mine for a long time, one that I've tried to live into, tried to emulate in my lives. But he's quoted as having taught and having said that we must preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. My friends, that is what Jesus is calling us to do. To not just hear the words, not just learn them, not just memorize them so we can repeat them, but to embody them in our hearts and our souls and our minds, to live in a way that honors those things, to preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. So I encourage you, preach to your family. Preach to your friends, preach to your coworkers, your neighbors, the strangers you meet, preach to your enemies. Preach the good news. Preach the gospel each and every day. Preach it in each and every moment. Preach it so that all the world will see and feel and know who Jesus Christ is, who it is that we serve. There is no guessing necessary when it comes to declaring who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Lord, our Savior. He is the Son of the living God. Preach the gospel with your life so that when that day comes, when Jesus welcomes you into his eternal home, he will look at you and he will say, I know who you are. You are one of my beloved. You are one of my chosen. You are my child. And I love you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, we have a special treat, of course, to end our service with the O'Briens here. First, Corey's going to come forward. He has a solo he's going to play for us on his saxophone. I'll invite you to remain seated while he plays, and then the rest of the family will join him for the closing song of gratitude. You may stand and sing with them at that time, but Corey's going to bless us to start this time.
I just want to thank the congregation and Pastor Devin again for inviting us out twice now. It's an honor to worship with you guys. I know you don't get to hear my voice over there on the piano, but I just want to say thanks from the O'Brien family. Keep me in your prayers as I worship with my saxophone. I feel very exposed because it's just the saxophone, and I still get super nervous. So just worship with me as I play. How good that are. Mm-hmm.
as I do. But every storm must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
God, go from this place led by the triune God who loves you, who saves you, and who sustains you. Let us go as God's agents of goodness and blessing wherever we go. Go with God's blessing. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.